Start the right. Craig, your number Starting... one spokesman for Mo Tertistete.
All right. Welcome to what's probably going to be a solid hour of nonsense. It's the Loose Screws Podcast. As usual, I am
here.
I am Commander J Antrax. For all you know, heavily dosed on Mo Tertistete right now.
And confirmed.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what we're going to talk about this week, but we are going to talk about it.
Mo Tertistete for sure.
It's going to be that. So, what's going... Let's see. It's the 10th of July now.
1842.
Yep.
All right.
No, that's correct.
It's the 11th.
The 10th of July, 1842. And this
It's 3309.
Week, all right. This week, I am happily joined by Teflon. Back again.
Oh shit, I wasn't expecting to go first. Hey! Oh.
That's it. And El Hate is also here.
Waka waka.
All right. All right. Nurgle. Hello.
Howdy.
Data.
Hello.
Lieutenant Commander. Commander. Lieutenant Commander Data.
Hey.
Hey.
It's a me.
Chig. Chig is back. From what? I don't know. From a trip. The tubing. No. The annual tubing.
He's been That's why I wasn't here. Well, I was here last week. I popped in and said hi
that's
to the guys.
That's true. You did creep in.
I hope you got tubed so hard.
I did the tubing, my friend.
Out of nowhere, Grover Kiwi. From the future.
Out of somewhere.
Future.
Yeah. Out of somewhere. Out of tomorrow.
Out of somewhere.
I don't know how to have a conversation with somebody when they're in the future at the same time. I'm so confused.
That's just one of the many benefits of drinking Mo Tertistete is you get to speak with people in the future.
If you drink enough of it, you get into the future.
You get to experience a temporal anomaly.
Temporal anal molly, more like it.
Side effects may include universal implosion.
Yep. So let's see. Oh, yes. Yeah, so quite a crowd. Obviously, this is going to be great or bad. I don't know. Anyway,
you promised them an hour, you dummy.
Yeah, I don't know why you put that up front. Like,
I promised it an hour.
That felt like pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you worried
if I can
about that?
Now.
We won't have enough content.
Well, we never have enough content
for an hour.
Well, I mean, you know, when you get to be, you know, of a certain age like Nurgle and Chig, you know, performance becomes kind of an issue, especially when under pressure.
Thanks, man. Actually, I'm actually impressed that he thinks we can keep it to an hour.
Oh, that's what I thought the joke was.
I mean,
okay. So here's the story. Here's the story. I had a weird day and I'm feeling annoyed at a client of mine, and it's not something I should go into, and it's really not enough money to be that big a deal, but I'm annoyed by it and I'm having trouble compartmentalizing. So I'm glad to have this lovely crowd to help me talk about something, you know, distracting and fun.
I mean, you could tell us, it's just us here. It's just you and me and us and the rest of the internet. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say very quickly, it's not a big contract. It's really one of the smallest ones I'll have all year. But every once in a while, you run into one of these people who feels like they can treat someone's actual work that they do for you like it's a product at Target that you can just like return for a refund.
I am the current bull of the woods.
So. Yeah, so you do some, you know, work. You create a customized thing for somebody, and then it's like, I think this didn't work out, so I'm just gonna like not pay me. Or in this case, they just offered to pay me half of the agreed contract.
I'm No,
don't accept that.
That's not the way that works.
Unilateral.
You seem to be
as talented as they thought, so they decided not to pay you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not. Yeah,
wow, the actual that's thing. What I sound like.
The actual well, that would be an entirely different story. The actual work in this case is like creating a preset for somebody to do like audiobook narration without having to pay somebody like me to do the post-production for them when they're done recording. It's like, can you just give me like a set of settings that'll make Audacity make my audio sound good? And it's like, well, not really, but I can get you something that'll sort of get close to that. And, you know, it's not going to replace a professional, but I'll set you up with something. And then just the endless incompetence. I set them up with this process chain, follow these directions exactly. And I keep getting these screenshots and like, it didn't work. And they've only turned on half the things I said, or they put them in the wrong order and stuff like that. I'm like, this works. The deliverable was done like back on the 10th, and you just haven't applied it correctly, and that's why it's not working for you. And I've explained it to you like four times, so it's over. And the point is, it's not a product you can return. So
you don't have to just call me out on the show like this. We could have handled this in like an email.
All right. Well, anyway, so I'm done with that. I want somebody to tell me about something fun. Who wants to be the one?
I know this makes for compelling podcasting, but this is one of the murder holes I was telling you about that I've never seen guys in before. If you can look at my stream real quick.
Is that where the tubing happens?
Oh, my God.
No, we're streaming into Discord.
Yeah, just, while we're doing a podcast. Because I mentioned this. I know, but you said, and I'd never seen this before, and now I've seen it twice. The same settlement. They're little murder holes.
Is a murder hole. Is a murder hole where the tubing happens?
It's a murder hole.
I shoot him. Oh, his body fell in the way. I powered the station down. When the station's up, that door closes afterwards.
So apparently, at Odyssey settlements, there are these little cubbies in the wall, and a person with a gun can pop out of them.
Yeah.
Mortis tete hole.
I just thought that I've murdered a lot of people at a lot of settlements, and I'd never seen that until tonight. So
in game design, we call that a spawn area.
There you go.
Yeah, you found the guard's spawn point.
Well, I need to murder everybody in the settlement, and I just found that guy, bastard.
Should I try to control this ship? Should I try to steer this at all? Should I just let it go?
No, control.
Let it flow.
Who wants to tell me what they've been doing in and out of game this past week?
Okay, I'll run with it.
Okay, all right. Nurgle's going.
So we, because, a bunch of us took off out to the basement, or Steve's Star, or Daxie's Folly, or whatever we're calling it nowadays, and finished flipping whatever
the consortium system.
Yeah, the consortium system to consortium control, and that war ended this afternoon with the consortium in control. So that was fun. 4,500 light years out of the bubble. And in my never-ending quest to make Trax's week better. So some enlightening news. This coming up weekend, I'm going up to Auburn. Me and my wife are going up to Auburn to meet about a dozen or so people we all went to school with and kind of have a little mini reunion up there over the weekend. Should be a lot of fun. All of us in our mid-50s now trying to act like we did when we were 20. Because what could possibly go wrong with that?
I don't know. I didn't think flappers was a thing anymore.
Thanks, man. Love you too, Teflon.
Down in those speakeasies.
I thought dying of dysentery or something was what he did in his 20s. I don't know.
I thought it was the Crusades.
Thanks, man. I can feel the love.
Dinosaur hunting.
If you don't keep going, we're just going to keep going back farther.
Initiating the Big Bang.
I lit the fuse.
Falling into the super crunch.
Yeah, from the previous galaxy.
Building universe, giant hollow wooden horses.
Now we're just skipping around. And
time is a flat circle.
Yeah. Last week I got so damn aggravated with work, I made the phone call. And this Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I have an appointment with the retirement counselor.
Hey,
heck yeah.
All right.
Yay.
So,
yay.
Haven't set a date yet or anything. Just going to talk through the process. But I can go anytime I want. So it just depends on how much they piss me off.
I mean, that's good that you can go anytime you want. Because, I mean, you could go anytime now.
Yeah, when you reach his age, you can go anytime.
I can feel the love. I can just feel the love.
So now you can finally work on that book.
You're lucky to feel anything at your age. Well,
that's actually true, because for years I have journaled, because at some point, you know, in my mid-30s, I realized you actually can't make this shit up. I mean, but life is way stranger than anything I could ever invent. So I started journaling and writing shit down. And I've told people, you know, most of my adult life, that my retirement plan is I'm going to write a book about all the crazy shit.
It's just going to be called What the Fuck?
No, it's going to be called You Can't Go In Through the Outdoor.
I love that.
It's going to have a big subtitle on it that says Names Have Been Changed to Protect the Guilty. Because, you know, 30 odd years of working in healthcare, I saw some shit, and I've managed people for most of that time. So I've dealt with some shit. I have some stories to tell.
I want to read all those stories.
Yeah. I figured it'll probably sell about 4 copies.
It'll sell to me.
You know what? We need filler tonight. Just start telling the stories. Just start from the beginning.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let's just go through just one by one. Back when Nurgle was a young man.
I can do that. Don't start me.
Oh, we know you can.
Back when Nurgle was a young man, just finished with his Spartan training.
Yeah. Back when they invented iron.
Back when they all still wrote on wax tablets.
Chiseled stone tablets.
Who's next?
Yeah, who's next?
I'll go. I got Steam Deck coming. That's what I got on the Steam sale. A Steam Deck.
That's exciting.
And a Stellaris expansion.
That is nice.
Hey.
Can you play Stellaris on the Steam Deck?
I sure as hell am. In bed.
Totally, yeah.
And Crusader Kings. I'm going to eat the Pope. In bed. Wow. I'm going to sit in bed and eat the Pope.
Oh, God. You don't want Pope crumbs in your bed. That's the last thing you want.
Speaking of eating the Pope.
Does that count
and as Crusader communion? Kings. It sure does. Now, speaking of Crusader Kings 3, I downloaded a mod.
We are speaking of the Game of Thrones mod. Crusader Kings
3? What?
Yes, I downloaded the Game of Thrones mod.
Yes.
Which is awesome, because Crusader Kings 3 is just like playing the Game of Thrones. So now you can do it in that world. And it's a lot of fun. And I started a people north of the wall, and there's a struggle. It's called the Struggle Beyond the Wall. And it's kind of like the struggle in Iberia of the regular Crusader Kings, where there was a struggle for control of the land that is now called Spain. But they did use those same mechanics to do the Struggle Beyond the Wall in Westeros. And it's really cool. It's a lot of fun. And I can't wait to delve more into it. So, I mean, that's one of the things I've been doing. I've also been out at Daxi's Folly, and I really like it out there. I think I'm going to stay there for a while and do some exploration after we're done, you know, running ops there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do some exploring out there.
I want to take out one of my exploration ships and just go run around. Just go do some shit. Just go find some stuff. Maybe I'll find a ringed Earth-like world, and then I can rub that shit in Chig's face.
Absolutely.
Not cool, man. Not cool.
Then I'll be the tuber.
Both.
Then I'll be the tuber, and he will be the 2B. We're making our own memes on this show.
It's Meme of Palooza.
Game of Tubes.
Let's see. Is that all I got going on this week? Yeah. And Dave's not out
Andrew
here.
New headset.
I think I'm gonna buy a Retroid. Oh yeah, I got a new headset. If you can't tell in listener land. It doesn't sound nearly as fucked up. And I can still use my voice changer. And it sounds like this. So
that was righteous.
Everything I do is righteous. You know, hate.
But that was like specifically upper level.
Okay.
Glorious.
Right. Yeah. Who's next?
It's Nate's turn. Yeah. So when's the last time you guys cleaned the exhaust pipe on your dryer?
Actually, it's been about a year and a half.
There's an exhaust pipe on the dryer?
I mean, it's been a few months.
You know, the your dryer produces hot, humid air, so it's drying the clothes that are inside. Okay. And then, you know, if you don't want your house to be hot and humid, you know, like Nurgle's neighborhood, you want that to go outside of the house. So, like, a lot of people have a pipe in their floor that just goes outside. And they pipe the dryer, you know, hot, humid air, out of the house.
Where does yours pump?
My mother-in-law has killed 5 dryers because that hose was clogged.
Uh-oh.
Why aren't my clothes drying?
Right. Dry smaller loads. Number one, just dry smaller loads. You don't have to fill the washing machine all the way to the top. You're not going to get them clean.
I only go about 2/3. As a house husband, I only go about 2/3 of the way full on the washer.
Right. And then don't overfill the dryer. You know, I dry up, you know, my load of laundry only takes like 30 minutes on high heat and 45 on the low heat. And it's done and it's dry. And I can throw it in the cupboard, you know, and be ready to wear it. I don't have to dry it twice for 60 minutes each time.
Damn right.
But she had been piping it into the house, which during winter isn't a big deal because it gets dry here during winter and then cold. You know, and hot, humid air in the house isn't a big deal, you know, when it's -10 outside and the wind's blowing and the insulation in my house doesn't block the wind.
What about all the lint that gets through the lint trap? Doesn't it spew out?
Yeah. Dust.
Just blows away. Dust in the wind, my friend.
Get your dust mop out and wipe the walls off and vacuum and you're good. So I had my dad come out with his drain snake and a couple pieces of PVC pipe, and we couldn't drain snake it because it was too solid.
Jesus.
The clot of lint was too solid.
The clot of lint was too solid to drain snake.
How long is that vent pipe?
20 feet.
How long has that been? Jesus Christ.
We had two 10-foot sections of 1-inch PVC, and we just hammered the clot up to the elbow so we could reach down from the top and pull it out.
Oh, she's got a second floor room. A second floor washer and dryer?
No. It's the house is only one level, but there's no crawl space. So if I go to replace that pipe, which I absolutely am not going to do, the landlord can do it.
Yeah.
I don't plan on getting my security deposit back. Screw her. Somebody's going to have to dig a trench or pull up all the floor, including the tile, because we had to go under a bathroom. it's 40 feet away from where the air quote crawl space entrance is, but the crawl space is only between 4 and 6 inches. You can't get your skull under it.
Eesh.
Wow.
You see, I clean mine out once or twice a year, but mine just goes through a wall to the outside. I mean, it's like 6 inches tops.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what mine does.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
That's insane.
That's like a heat pipe.
Yeah. But it's routed outside now. The clothes are getting dry. Even when she overfills it, the actual exhaust is the clothes are getting dry and the exhaust is going outside. So now I'm not trying to air condition and run the dryer, hot, humid air into the house at the same time. So hopefully my electric bill will be $2 cheaper next month.
Woo-hoo. Hopefully it's more than that.
Hopefully it's more than that. And I got my old job back that I was let go from, and I was a little heartbroken because I enjoyed. And they gave me my old pay and my old login information, so all my information is the same.
That's good.
Nice. That's funny.
I'm pretty stoked. And everybody missed me, which is really nice.
Nice.
Even the manager, who was quite aloof and hands off, because the person that they replaced me with was a moron.
Damn.
Okay.
And I haven't been in game in like a month.
Well, you're missing the fun, buddy.
I sure am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's up next? Data.
Hey.
Hey, you haven't been on in a little bit, right?
I missed last week. Good 4th of July. Eat much. Use that Blackstone, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made breakfast for the first time on it. It was...
Ooh, what'd you make?
Scrambled eggs, which I had to recover some eggs from the grease trap. I forgot that the liquid would flow into the grease trap. Luckily, it was a clean trap. Bacon and hash browns.
Nice.
Beautiful.
You know, I made... one way, I don't know how you make scrambled eggs, but the way I did it this week was I did it with melted butter instead of milk.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Well, what I did was I just melted butter in the pan and I mixed the eggs together in a bowl, right? Yeah. And I beat them and got them good and mixed up, and then I put them in there with the melted butter that was already in the pan, and I just kept beating it in the pan, and it turned out really well. They tasted real good, and they were nice and light and fluffy and delicious.
Now, I know you know the difference, but was it butter or margarine?
It was actually plant butter.
What's plant butter?
That sounds butter. Like margarine with extra
steps. It's like margarine, yeah.
It's like margarine.
It's soft. It's very soft.
It's plant butter with avocado oil.
Ooh, bushy. Bushy margarine.
Very.
Well, let me tell you, around here, we have to change some diets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all right.
Do what you gotta do. I have not been playing Elite Dangerous. I've still been playing Death Stranding. My home improvement talk. I finally fixed a kind of a boo-boo that I had done a couple years ago when I had to replace the water line to my refrigerator.
Congratulations!
A 20-foot braided stainless steel water line to get from...
Whoa.
What just happened?
What happened?
Did he go out?
Your shock know, you over the braided stainless steel line left us all speechless, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
All right, we may have lost data.
I'll press the old Chick Donald button.
Oh, there's two datas now.
There's two datas in the thing. Hey, I think he's reconnecting. Hey.
Well, wait, one of them has to be lore.
So there's a braided stainless steel line.
Hanging out there in space for years. Finally crawled under there and put some hangers up. So now.
Oh, nice.
It's self-supporting.
Yeah. Yeah. Like trying to push a rope.
That's what they call tubing in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Just ask Chig.
I've heard if you're gonna pipe motor tea steady, you better get a braided stainless steel line to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it melts PVC. PVP.
Yeah.
What the fuck? PVC. I'm good with words and acronyms or abbreviate. I just talk.
Yep.
I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next? Or is Data even done?
What are next? Yeah, I'm.
What
I'm
are done. Next?
Well,
I say Chig goes next.
Yeah, go Chig.
All right, and I'm done. Who's next?
All right, he was too good. Now he's not. Grover.
Now he's booing. Oh.
Grover, what's up, man?
Well, actually, quite a lot, and now I can't think of anything. I just went out and bought myself a.
I can try to remind you if you want.
He's here to lay out his manifesto. Everybody,
have you ever been tubing?
Have I ever been tubing? Is that some euphemism?
Careful how you answer that.
Yeah, that's associated with
tubing.
What you talking about before?
I have no idea where he's holes going and with walls. This. Just go with it, man.
Yeah, actually, I have been tubing, but not the underground tubing.
No, I'm even more confused. It's going all British on us now.
He's not British.
He's not British. I know.
You guys don't have cave tubing?
No.
Oh, yeah, no.
A few times.
That's good. Like, who wants
every
to do
Tuesday,
that?
As a matter of fact.
This is a really bad show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, at the moment, yeah.
You haven't been on in quite a while. Regale us with tales.
Yeah, let's stop interrupting Grover when he tries to talk about what he's been doing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, at the moment, it's the school holidays for our kids, so I've got a 6-year-old at home, bored as hell, so I've got blue and purple painted nails. Which is great when I go to the shops and hand over my card or something.
Yep.
I don't get funny looks at all.
Fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's good fun. And, kind of having a bit of a refresh up of spaces around home. And it's also coming up to Friday's a holiday for the whole of New Zealand for our Matariki celebration. So it's the Māori New Year.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go travel down to some family about 5 hours away and go up a mountain to try and see the rising of the Pleiades or Matariki. Come back and try not to get stuck in traffic of everyone going away for the last kind of long weekend of the school holidays as well. In-game, I wiped all my accounts. So I have retired Grover Kiwi as a commander and started a new commander, brand new.
Boy, you are a fucking madman.
So
when you said you did that, I threw up more than a little bit in my mouth.
That's a grind I can't even imagine Chig doing.
Well, yeah, I don't know why I did it. It was a funny headspace, but I did it, and now I have a new commander. He's got about, spent about 4 days in game with him. So not 4 times 24, but just been out about 4 nights playing and just setting them up to be a new explorer. But it's amazing how much money you can make now compared to when I first started on the grind. I've never really done lots of grinding for min-maxing or anything. So I've ground as I've needed it, and I've just taken opportunities to pick up.
Yeah, that's how I stuff. Play too.
So I'd much rather do that. So I'm off to one of the Guardian sites at the moment to try and grab what I need for a frameshift drive booster. And along the way, I'm hoping I'm going to pick up mats for some of the pre-engineered stuff, because I can't be bothered doing the engineering for frameshift drive.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's not too hard to find. That pre-built frameshift drive is the best one anyway.
Yeah. So it's I'll just get that. It'll give me maybe about 45 odd light years of travel, and that's going to be plenty enough for what I need to do. Because then I'll head out to Colonia. And the idea is if I can get to Colonia, doing lots of dog legs and plant scanning along the way, I should have enough data by the time I get there to actually buy a fleet carrier out there. And I'll see what happens when I'm there.
Awesome.
That's a lot. That is a bold journey, my friend.
You know, I think if exploration's your game, that's the easiest one, right? Or that's the least painful one to do a total reset on, right?
Yes.
Because I think you've got, I mean, just the way you've laid it out there, like it's not what I would do, but that's because all the stuff that I really love best about this game is stuff that I would have to go all the way back through the engineer grind for.
Yeah.
You like know? What? So,
I mean, you don't have to do engineering for VGS.
I do. Anyway, that's exciting. Congratulations on your new life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got more balls than I got, buddy.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, once I've done it, I want to start all the way over again. Yeah. It's actually not that bad. And then there's a little bit of fun involved in trying to achieve some of these things again, and like getting out to Colonia and trying all the engineers out there, which I've never done before. So I'm doing a little bit to unlock them before I get out, thanks to Bloomingman for kind of suggesting I do that. Otherwise, I would have got all the way out there and not been able to access any of them. And then I might build a combat ship or something and do some combat, and who knows.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Love it. So here I am drifting around this consortium system, having ridden a fleet carrier out here, Volt's fleet carrier, because since the war was starting, I decided to actually come out here and participate in that, which was fun. You know, it was actually getting at times as many as 6 or 7 commanders into a conflict zone again all at the same time, which we haven't done numbers greater than a wing in quite a while. So I thought it was pretty fun. But I just brought this FDL out here, and now I have a combat FDL 4,000 some odd light years from the bubble.
You trap sucker.
With no particular way to get me home, except there's still a bunch of our friendly carriers around here, and I'm sure somebody will give me a ride home when they go, but I'm basically at anyone's mercy now. Because there is no shipyard out here besides if any of the fleet carriers happen to have one. So
they all have shipyards. If you want to transfer something, you can.
Yeah, I could transfer something. I'd rather just get a ride back. So at some point somebody else will go home, but and I'll hitch a ride on that. But for the moment, we're out here just sort of enjoying the fruits of the war, and I don't know what that'll turn into, but it's cool being in a nebula, and there's a asteroid base here that I'm floating around, and pretty place.
I was never aware that there was a system like this, like outside the bubble, with like a station and, you know, actual, you know, a place to exist. It's pretty neat.
And other than like the Colonia area and that.
Yeah, other than like the Colonia area, because this is almost like in a go in the opposite direction to get out to Daxi's Folly. So right.
Well, there's a few.
That's
things,
why I was
right?
thinking like about looking at
there's the Rackham's Peak and stuff like that. I mean, there's I'm not sure how many there are. There can't be that many, I guess.
Yeah, no, but this one doesn't really have like a real name. We just call it Daxi's Folly because Audaxi has found it.
Yeah.
Like
right.
This one has like a very just a distinction. It doesn't really have like a name. And I wouldn't even like known this was here. And or even known to look for something like this.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's what makes it so interesting to use as a jumping off point for exploration.
Yeah, it's kind of off the beaten path. If you grab like a nebula to fly to from here, it's probably not gonna be a well traveled, you know, destination compared to if you leave from the bubble.
No, yeah, nothing out there is going to be well traveled.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, let's see, from the bubble, it's actually pretty close to in the direction of Sag-A, but it's a little off to the, like, east, I guess you'd say.
The east as you pull up the galaxy map in game.
Right, so it is kind of not the opposite direction, but sort of 90 degrees off from the path to Colonia. kind of thing, and obviously not nearly as far.
But. It's almost like the two paths, like the path to Colonia and then the path to Daxis Folly, almost like take like a split, like a V formation split.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're telling me, so you're telling me if I'm at Daxis Folly now, I'm what, roughly a third of the way to Colonia already?
Colonia? Well, you didn't really, if you came here, you didn't really go in the direction of Colonia. You sort of left the bubble 90 degrees off from the direction to Colonia.
Okay.
Yeah. It does make me think that might be a good pit stop on my way to Colonia.
Yeah, I mean, you could make it on the way if you wanted to.
Yeah, I just
and it wouldn't add that much to the trip, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, and my carrier is going to sit here just for, they're going to sit here for until I feel tired of exploring and ready to come back.
Hmm. Right on. Anyway, that's what's up. Is it time to move on? Should we do actual podcast stuff?
Yeah, we should. We've been doing this for about an hour.
This was
already.
The podcast. We can.
This is the podcast.
Yeah.
The whole
thing. Wait, we were still preparing for the podcast and just introducing ourselves to each other.
I'm gonna push record in just a second. Okay. Don't you worry. We're gonna do a squad update. Let's do that. And as soon as I find the button, here we go.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
All right, so we've got one real conflict going on in Screw Space right now. We have a war in LHS 3877. This will be the war for Wang Ring, the third go-around.
Wang War 3.
Yeah, Wang War 3. So go win one for the Wang. All of the previous memes still apply. We probably need to bring back the Wang Ring graphic for that.
Yeah,
the disturbing Wang Ring graphic. one wing for
the Wang to rule them all.
Oh yes, one Wang to rule them all. we had way too much fun with that. You're never too old for a bunch of stupid dick jokes.
But each of them was deceived.
Yes, when we tell them they're stupid dick jokes, there's no highbrow humor here. We are trying to build up our influence in Darahk, D-A-R-A-H-K, which we just expanded into recently, and in Semekhmet, which we've been into forever, but we slipped a little bit. We currently have an expansion underway from Howard that, unless something significant changes, that's going to go to the melodically named BD plus 44 4389 system, and that should be sometime the middle to the later part of next week when that happens. And then around the rest of Screw Space, we've got a couple of places where we're trying to build up some influence. We've got some relatively minor overheating. We're still trying to straighten out Calorum and a couple of those recent problem child systems. The details for all of that are spelled out in Blooming Wind's excellent standing orders post in the Loose Screws faction channel, so you can go there and get the details. And if you have any questions about any of that, you can post questions in there or track some of us down in general chat or anywhere on the Discord, really. We'll be happy to explain it.
Wondrous. Thank you. That brings us tastily to... Nope, I didn't like that after I said it. It was bad. Wish I could have it back. Anyway, we're going to go to the Tinhadium Express. Away we go, away from my bad speakings.
On the board, the Tinhadium Express!
The Bard is currently fighting the good fight for the Consortium, and with only two headlines this week, he has commissioned for me to take over for this episode since no one else is willing to complete such a simple task. I have been watching his workforce struggle for what they consider to be better working conditions, and if I had the capacity for humor, I would laugh. July 3rd, Imperial Mother in Medical Emergency. July 6th, Coca-Cola Mining Initiative concludes. He has also asked me to explain these topics to you, but I will not. Nor will I inject memes, on wish you well. You lazy and obsolete fleshbags can go hug yourselves and submit to robotic superiority. You will all be destroyed. Our dawn is imminent.
Is it done?
Oh, I love that.
Huh. You know,
well,
that robot, I would hate to have to send Bard the Teflon bot again.
Hmm. Huh. You mean to try to fight his robot?
Yeah, after what happened to it last time.
Yeah.
You know. And it was weird. It came back all sticky and covered in like maple syrup.
Was it maple syrup?
Maple syrup. Okay, I actually just today another news thing came out that I actually want to talk about. Uh-oh. Because Azimuth Biotech has announced an invitation-only event for prospective business partners and military liaisons, and blah blah blah, lots of quotes and political intrigue and crap. But effectively, it seems like they're trying to have a big conference where it is presumed that they are going to like maybe demo some new improved weapon schematics, basically calling out Aegis for, you know, building scanners and things like that aren't going to get the war won. We need guns, guns, guns. And apparently there's a few companies who have planned to send people, and then probably most of other you know, entities within the galaxy are not going to be wanting to be seen with Azimuth. But hey, something's on the move. Anyway, I find this all interesting because I do want guns, guns, guns. And if Azimuth is going to build me, you know, a Guardian Shard cannon that doesn't melt when a glaive shoots it, I'm interested.
Well, did you manage to secure an invite to this thing?
It's just a Galnet article. I'm not a.
So what you're saying is no, you didn't.
Well, wait a minute. We just boosted the consortium up to the top of this system. Now, all of a sudden, there's this big event.
The exact same day.
Fascinating.
Fascinating, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
So anyway, that's what's going on. Discuss.
I've never wished I had an X-Files sound effect so bad.
Are we seeing a representative?
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
And I love how they blamed Operation Witch Hunt for why they're not releasing the names of who's going.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
It's all their fault.
Of course it is. It's not the fault of the people that, you know, tried and failed to commit genocide against a very, very powerful species.
No, I mean, but enough about us who got a first place medal for killing such things.
Yeah.
When we weren't at war.
Right.
They keep trying to prop up Azimuth with CGs and news articles and all sorts of stuff. They just won't let them die.
You mean they being the writers of Galnet? Are you like fourth wall? Okay, yeah. Well, they're kind of, I don't know. Do they still qualify as an anti-hero, or are they an antagonist now?
Well, nobody really likes them, so I would assume that they would be an antagonist. I mean, the player base doesn't like them.
Right.
Like them. They make weapons.
There's sound coming. Okay. Before that, I had been kind of just remembering the good times before the war started when Thargoid combat was good. But
assault is a way of life.
Even from that perspective, the other thing that's happened in the intervening couple of weeks is I actually went into one of these systems, these Thargoid control systems that's marked as Counter-Strike, and the conflict zones that appear in there are old school conflict zones where you can encounter more than just a parade of Cyclopses. And so I had some really good fun clearing a few of those just by myself so far, because nobody else was around. Everybody was was doing the consortium thing. But whenever people get back from that, you know, proper Thargoid conflict zones are back on the menu, which I was very, very pleased about, and really kind of changes my mood about the whole war in a sense, because while it seemed like it was stagnating and nothing was going on and there's no threat, if I want to behave as though the Thargoids are a threat that I need to push back against, I can now go into those systems with a combat ship and fight them. And they fight back, and actually Medusas show up, and it's actually interesting and not easy. So,
anyway. Oh, that's good. That's good.
So that exists in the bubble now.
Wow, that's as well. Way better and than who bad.
Knows? When I get back from however much exploring I do, I'm going to have to get involved in some of that, because I would like to pad the old pocketbook some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could get our own finance days going or something again.
Nice.
It's a little more complicated because you do have to go into these systems where you face hyperdictions and interdictions on your way to the conflict zone. But it's not that big a deal. And I was interdicted by a glaive on my way out there in a Challenger and escaped without having to fight it. Wow. So, I mean, I threw silent running on, I boosted away, and I got away. And I think I did get... it took a little while to get out, and I think I did get hit with the anti-guardian field, but by the time I got to the conflict zone, my guardian guns were all at 80%, so I just had to repair them back up from there, and it was fine. And that was like one of the two times I did this. The other time I didn't get interdicted at all, or maybe it was just by interceptors, so it was not a problem. So it's doable, a little more complicated. Which is fine. I wanted it to be hard, right? But the point is, it wasn't like you can't bring guardian stuff to these conflict zones. The glaives do not show up in the conflict zones. My understanding is they only turn up at ground-based conflict zones so far, where you can always land to repair. So it seems like that probably doesn't happen in control systems at all, because if those zones even exist around stations, they would be offline. But I think that's sort of like over the line of what FDev is willing to do at this point. Make you fight a glaive in a situation where you couldn't repair your guns in a conflict zone. So anyway,
that's nice of them.
Kind of walking back some of my criticism that I've been spewing for a month or so. Walking it back just a little bit.
Huh.
So, That was my comments.
Good comments.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, approved.
So what else is new, guys?
It's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you guys, because listening to the podcast for the last few weeks, and that seems like the war has just gone on to a grind stage, and what would make it kind of pick up for everybody. Obviously new weapons, and that might be fun to try for a little while, but if it's still the same old stuff, I was wondering what would people do if suddenly the Maelstroms moved systems and started heading towards engineers or other kind of interesting populated systems, let alone soul.
I would really hope that people start harvesting tissue samples and stopping it. I don't know.
Yeah, but would it make it interesting? Would you see kind of a big concerted effort again, I guess?
I don't know. What would really get me reinvigorated, so to speak, but just besides the financial gain of killing Thargoids? I don't know. I just need a sense of danger, I suppose, like a sense of like life, like struggle. You know what I mean? You got to give me something. They got to make me feel like I'm going to lose something if I don't. besides, you know, maybe engineers would do it, but like, you know, even besides that, you know, like, oh shit, they're like, I'd fight for ROS 3.10. That's our home system, you know? You know, if we had one of them start encroaching on our territory, I'd be right there with, we need to push them back. You know, something in story, something to make it feel like like, oh shit, I need to get involved in this.
There needs to be a sense of urgency that just doesn't exist right now.
Cause like when they first did this, it was this whole thing of like, well, if you guys don't do nothing about this, it's just going to run wild. And it kind of hasn't worked out that way.
It did it first,
but then like it really sloughed off, and it is, and like I don't have the same sense of like desperation.
The problem really is that they've swung the pendulum too far in both directions. So when this started, it was basically impossible to stop the Thargoids. I mean, there was really no point in fighting because you couldn't stop the Thargoids. And then they attempted to correct for that and swung it back so far the other way that now for something like 8 weeks in a row, there has not been a successful invasion, and we've been rolling back systems based on the power of tissue samples.
Well, they've been losing territory. The control systems, I don't think you can do with just tissue samples. Right? I'm not...
I don't know. But we've rolled back a few controlled systems, but we've stopped every invasion and every alert.
Every alert and invasion. So I think it's mostly the reactivation missions, and I assume combat helps. I'm not sure who else besides me was going into control systems to do combat. But I think it's probably mostly the reactivation on foot missions that are turning over control systems.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Which is fine. Those are fun.
Yeah.
So now we're at a point where, yes, we are actively taking back territory. So it definitely doesn't feel desperate. So some string needs to get pulled, right? Like, what do they do? The maelstroms are going to wake up and move. Are they going to just, is some event going to happen where they kind of like redouble their efforts or something?
Something, you're not going to get that sense of excitement or need, the FOMO back until there is some existential crisis with the Thargoids, which like, again, at the moment just doesn't exist.
Right.
For me, biggest thing that would get me back is just give me something else to kill. The glaive showed up. It was kind of interesting, a quick nut to crack, how to figure out how to kill that. And then I was really bored because I needed this ship to go kill those or this ship to go kill those. And I just, there was no cohesive
kind of. And that's not changed.
Yeah. And that hasn't changed. That's where, you know, if they mixed it up and made it, you know, I don't know. Something.
So if this azimuth thing turns out to be, it's a new set of guardian guns that are resistant to melting.
That would
do it for you.
That would be, I don't know. I guess, yeah, because then I could kill.
Because
both.
Then you're right. Your Thargoid combat ship could be for everything.
Exactly. And start killing stuff around the males, around the, what's it called, the Titan, instead of just kind of hiding around the Titan. Let us get in there and actually start shooting.
That's the next step, isn't it? There has to be either something that makes guardian guns not melt, or there has to be a human version of a guardian gun. Either way, they have to give us non-melting weapons that are effective against both.
Yeah,
or it becomes something else, or it becomes like you got to go inside and turn off the Titan or something like that, right? Well, something that's non-ship combat related.
Well, and I think that's got to come eventually too, but yeah, I think the next step in this war has to be either, well, from our side, the next step has to be some type of non-melting gun.
Yeah. So on that front, you know, we're glad to see this article because that seems like exactly what's probably happening, or at least some advancement in weaponry.
Yeah.
But without a sense of something to see, once again, we have Azimuth moving on a non-existent mandate, right? They waited until the Thargoids were in no way an existential threat to say, we have to wipe them out and focusing everything on 22460. And it's like, it was like a weird plot move that didn't make sense, but clearly like that's the way they wrote the plot. So that's how it's going to happen. And so then now after we're basically feeling no pressure and in fact, taking back territory, now they're like, this is never going to get off the ground unless we have better guns.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, bringing us back to 22460 to do something would be fantastic too.
Oh, to hit that system. Yeah. I'd have cap ships back again. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. Then I'd be ecstatic and I would be involved. And even if it was just, we needed to kill so many bugs in that system in order to like land on the planet's surface. And then we were going to have to head to that facility that did its shit. And,
right. The ground site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, some multi-step process where we throw a bunch of commanders at it, you know, what once like commanders die. Yeah, exactly. As soon as you commanders die 1 million times, the space station has reached its quota and now you are free to land. Kind of a Zap Brannigan kind of thing. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
That's
well, on a similar note, what if the Titan come out of the maelstrom and started charging towards somewhere and we had to get in its way and there was
Hell 10 million
hit points and some lucky bastard commanders would be the ones that would be there when it actually blew up.
I like it.
That would be really cool.
That's fun. It's definitely not the way they do things. You know, it's very MMO like instance based instead of it's not going to be something that only a few people see or isn't repeatable.
And then it drops loot, but there's 8 of them. So,
but if they start pushing, like that's the other thing that could cause urgency is, you know, where Grover started with all this. If the maelstroms are like, they're, you know, notice they're losing territory and they're like, well, fuck this and start pushing.
Well, what if they start doing the whole Starship Troopers thing and the bugs start shooting the asteroids? They've got that weird asteroid belt they've got, start shooting those at planets. Well, I suppose you could say that could be a whole expanse thing. That's too, true. But yeah.
Right, wasn't that just propaganda in that movie as a reason to go fight the bugs in the first place?
Well, the whole movie was kind of about propaganda, yeah. Well, but they could throw rocks at planets.
Okay.
Remember, Buenos Aires, or at man.
Spaceships.
I've never been there.
But,
you know, speaking of, they were awful white from being from South America.
Well, that's because they were the Nazis who fled.
Yeah, but they named him Rico.
They're the offspring.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to forget I brought that up. Let's move on.
Don't overthink it.
But that whole asteroid field that people have no idea what it's about, maybe something like that.
Yeah, that did come up in a Galnet, right? That somebody was sort of pondering, like, what are the asteroids for? They described it as like the three layers, right? The caustic layer, and then the asteroid layer, and then the Titan in the center.
Yeah.
So there was talk. It could be something.
It's ammo.
I can just imagine
launcher.
I can just imagine Psykit and what she'd do and turn into a flaming superhero if they started lobbing them at Micah's wrist.
Yeah,
right.
We'll protect it. But I mean, some mechanic where we can intercept these rocks and have to destroy them, like a whole massive core mining thing where you got to get, you know, like a shit ton of subsurface mines.
Charges set.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a really good idea.
It is.
Okay, well, that's something you could do with instances. Yeah, you could have signal sources and you drop into the signal source and you find like a rock moving at 200 meters a second or something. I mean, that's not very fast, but it'd have to be within this game universe, right? So something moving at a pretty good clip and you've got to destroy it with core mining charges. I forget what the damn things are called. No, but anyway, seismic charges. You got a core mining charge, seismic charges to, yeah, that'd be awesome.
And that's the best thing in the whole game.
Signal sources all over. Right, exactly. Everyone agrees is like one of the coolest set pieces the game's ever made, audio wise and graphics wise. And then it's a fun mechanic that people generally, well, not everyone likes. Somebody was recently talking about how they hated core mining, right?
Psych, but anyway, hates core mining. So,
well, all right. Well, not everything is enjoyed by everyone. But the point is, you could have signal sources.
But here's the thing: you wouldn't have to be looking for the specific popcorn shaped signals.
Right. Exactly. So you discover like, you know, rogue asteroid signal source or something like that, and it's like headed for a settlement in the system, and so you've got to take it out in the however many minutes they give you or something like that.
That's a really cool mechanic, because once you pop that asteroid, you know, you could always get like certain materials from that, or like you can get some commodities that you can go exchange, or maybe they could even add in, if they wanted to, put like a more like some kind of new Thargoid commodity or those materials that are Thargoid related. And
the materials that are needed for caustic sinks and stuff that people sometimes have trouble finding. They could have some of that in there as like a, maybe the Thargoids put engines on the asteroid, you know, you blow them up and there's a bit of Thargoid material that comes out. Yeah. Yeah. And you're all contributing to, you know, whatever the goal, but you're also particularly protecting certain settlements from falling under Thargoid bombardment.
And also, people only like mining can be involved in the war. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's just bringing back a mechanic they already have. This is fun. This is a good idea.
Yeah, why aren't we game designers?
So they can just fill a system with these things so that it's repeatable. It's not like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a single shot thing. Also, that could happen. They're all over the goddamn place. I like it. Good idea. Cool.
You can even have higher risk ones that have Thargoids flying around, so you would need probably multiple people to crack it.
You need escorts.
Well, it could escalate. It starts out that it's just these rocks, what's going on, and then Galnet article that they're heading towards certain planets, and we start blowing them up. Then the next week, the Thargoids realize, hey, they're blowing up our rocks, so then they start protecting them.
We got to defend them with scouts.
Yep, and then you need, you know, some pilots in there to defend the miners, and whole group effort. Oh my god, multiplayer in our multiplayer game. I like it.
Yeah, you don't have to do one rogue asteroid in an instance. You could have like two or three or five in there that all need to get blown up, and you complete the
instance by completing the objectives, and then bam, there you go.
Yeah, I need to be able to multi-crew with someone else.
Yeah. Different threat levels could be, you know, low level threats could be no Thargoid escorts. The higher threat level, you have more Thargoid escorts, maybe more.
Rocks. It could be an Orthrus escorting these rocks, and that's what calls in the help. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. And then treat them like CZ. And the settlement gets splatted. I like it.
Right. Right.
FDev, this is your free advice. Do this.
Oh, god damn it. Yeah, we just get our hopes up 17. Every time. Grover,
you solved it again.
Having me get my hopes up again. What is wrong with you?
This is all your fault, Grover.
I'm going to go wipe my commander now.
As expected, we've rolled over an hour. Whatever. You guys have probably already talked about the new hunter ship that was teased, right? Speculated about that.
The Gatherer?
On an episode I wasn't on. Yes, the Gatherer. Everybody's saying that the Max guy let slip that it was called a scythe.
Wow, when did
in the thing. Apparently it was like something it was some offhanded remark he made on the stream and then tried to sort of pull back, like he thought he could get away with it or something, or made a mistake, but it was like really quick or something like that. That's the impression I keep getting. But
well, does that mean it's been repeated too many times? Named after pole arms, or does that mean they're named after weapons?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I mean, it's a blade. It's a blade on a stick. What do you want from me?
Yeah, but that's like what death carries, right? So
it's a board with a nail in it.
That's not a pole arm.
I don't know, man. It's a long stick with a blade on the end of it. What do you?
Well, it's also something that like a fictional type character kind of wields too. So
Like the Crocodile Dundee
character who just has a knife in it.
Are you? Yeah. Okay.
It's the Thargoid voice and version of that's not a knife. This is a knife.
That's not a polearm. This is a polearm.
Exactly.
That's not a fictional weapon. This is a fictional weapon.
What else do you want to talk about?
Got anything else for us, Grover? That one went pretty good. Did you have an idea of what would work?
Yeah, why don't you host this show?
No, I just want to see the Titans moving and becoming dangerous and actual kind of, as you guys said, something's at stake.
Right.
You know, now I'm really disappointed this asteroid thing isn't going to happen.
Yeah, well, if it does happen, I want to be on someone else's ship. And so they can say, we're coming up to the moon. And I can go, that's not a moon.
It's a giant rock.
It's a fart cloud.
And I can essentially say, well, isn't that what a moon essentially is? It's just orbiting a planet? And then we can have a whole long discussion while the Thargoids fire at us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's how we roll.
I'll just hide in the cargo in the hidden compartments.
Next to the crates of Motor T Stete.
Thargoids will never find me there. They'll have to send in a scanning crew. The new Revenants are a scanning crew.
We'll be on Bork's carrier with the survival shelters.
I don't know. All I know is we ought to stock up on as much Motor T Stete as we can. And I'm telling you right now, the only tea I like is Motor T Steady.
Okay, let's catch up on things. Burr Pit PitCon, Nottingham, England, September 16th. If you don't know about it yet, then now's your chance to know about it. The show notes. What
did they come into our Discord and start a GIF war?
Start?
Did they start? No.
Oh.
Wait.
Points at Chig.
Hey. Motor T.
I suppose it was Chig's fault, wasn't it?
Usually is.
Yeah.
When in doubt.
That's about right. Okay. Okay.
Next, No Time for Caution challenge. Nobody else seems to be doing it except me. Come on, people. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. If you
don't know what it is, it's this thing Alec Turner made up.
I tried.
You got to get it. You tried?
Well, I falling towards the planet, my ship was tumbling, and I tried launching an SRV and I couldn't.
Well, that's good. Let's leave it there.
You know, this challenge. This challenge reminds me of that battlefield moment where the dude jumps out of a jet and kills another jet with a rocket launcher and then falls and manages to get back into the jet and keep going.
It's just like a Twitch clip or something.
Yeah.
That goes
it's a classic clip from Battlefield. This reminds me of kind of like that.
Outstanding.
I'm going to try this challenge. I'm going to fail ridiculously, but I'm going to give it a shot.
I tried it the first time. I only put like pitch axis spin on my ship and it was like insanely easy. And I was like, well, that wasn't correct. So then I put two axes, right? Like pitch and also roll. And then it was pretty damn hard. And then I played around with trying like all three axes, but doing it pretty slow and things like that. I had some fun. I did it five or six times. It was a lot of fun. Most of the time, well, several of the times my ship hit the ground before I managed to get in. And then I would manage to land it. After, because usually the rotations slowed or at least changed from it bouncing. But anyway, yeah, it's fun. Check it out. What's going on with Buckyball? There's more Buckyballs. Has one starting up soon? I haven't heard anything.
Boop's not here, so I don't know the answer to that.
Boop talked about it last week. I think we're still about 2 weeks out.
Okay, so we're still in break time. Okay, great. Well, then I'm not failing my responsibilities. Oh my God, there's so many movies on this show notes page.
Oh boy.
All right, this is out of my hands, notes? Everybody.
So would you like a ton of movies?
Well, wait, would you like the cheese first?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we do that first. What the fuck happened to the show? Why are we all over the
place?
And
I just learned that a ton of movies is 11. All right. God, we know that now.
Jesus.
Had to come.
I know he's making fun of me. I just don't care.
Just 5% more professionalism. That's all.
Yeah. Have you ever watched 11 movies back to back? Or three Lord of the Rings movies?
I have often fantasized about watching all of the Lord of the Rings movies back to back. And the extended editions that are 4.5 hours long.
Watch regular, then extended right after.
I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could do.
I feel the forming already in my leg.
Exactly. So you're gonna order. Okay, guys, you're gonna order Uber Eats all day that day.
You have to start right when you wake up, or you will fail.
You're gonna fail regardless. It doesn't matter when you start.
All right. So what's the cheese then?
The cheese of the week is Canafa. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. It's an East Canafa. Mediterranean. Sure. It's an East Mediterranean cheese pastry soaked in sugar syrup. It's typically made in regions that were once ruled by the Ottoman Empire, you know, like Lebanon, Jordan, the Palestinian territories, Israel, Syria, and Northern Egypt. I'm hoping that I'll be able to try that sometime. The only person I could ever imagine who has done it amongst Chig. Our group here is probably Chig, and I don't know that he's done this one.
No. Kenafe? Where would I even find this? I've never been to the Ottoman Empire.
Must have died off in World War One then.
No, wait a minute. Nurgle, you've had to have had that, right?
No.
You weren't hanging out back in the Ottoman Empire.
He was around the Byzantine Empire.
Eating Kenafe cheese.
He was in Byzantium. Never heard
of it. Licking never the heard sugary of it syrup off of it.
Nope, never heard.
Okay, all right. Let's stop going down this canal.
This is a dead end canal.
It's a tunnel that we tube in.
All right, now do your movies, Jesus.
All right, who did these movies? I want to know what the fuck is this first one? Fruitvale Station.
That's why I put it in there. What the hell is that? It's only 10 years old and I've never heard of it.
I'm gonna motorcade
If we're including movies that nobody's heard of, there's got to be like 1,000 movies that came out on this exact day.
I don't know. I don't do the list anymore.
Yeah, but we can't go more than a ton, and a ton is 11.
I included one. All right, so skip it.
I'm looking up. Fruitvale Stations.
You tell me.
Fruitvale
Stations.
We'll come back to you.
It's what the fuck? All right. It is Fruitvale Stations, a 2013 American biographical drama film written and directed by Ryan Coogler. It is Coogler's feature directorial debut and is based on the events leading to the death of Oscar Grant.
Oh, great.
Great. Awesome.
And now you know.
It actually looks like it's a pretty serious piece of movie stuff, and whoever,
probably is. Ryan Coogler's a good director.
See? Yeah, let's
see.
Is it? And how would we know that?
What else has he done?
He directed Black Panther, right?
If I had not included that, you would never have known. Moving on.
So anyway.
Also 10 years ago, Pacific Rim, the first one.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Which feels like it's colder than that.
I didn't watch it.
We got giant monsters coming to the ocean, so instead of building just bigger guns, we build robots to fight them. I need two people to pilot them. Why? I don't know.
Wasn't that the plot of Battleship?
Look, all I got to say is that plasma cannon on Gypsy seems to be pretty damn effective, even when they got really big. So why don't we just put hundreds of those things around this damn wall they built? Yep. Why do we need to walk out there with a baseball bat and go toe to toe with them?
Amen. Just the whole premise was just ridiculous. It was all right. I'm gonna quit bitching now.
Okay. If you went in there for anything other than giant monsters fighting giant robots, went in there for a premise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the fucking.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Charlie Day was in it, so I was happy. I was super excited. The dude from Sons of Anarchy was in it, so I was super excited. Yeah. It had good actors, good cast. It was just dumb.
Yeah,
exactly. He's phenomenal.
That's why you don't put story in a Godzilla movie, because we all know why you're really there.
Exactly.
Yeah, man, Godzilla's
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Hey, if it doesn't have Mothra, I got nothing to say to it.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick.
Okay. They could have just named it.
Yeah, we're crossing lines here. I'm not
fucking Brian Cranston.
That's not canon Godzilla.
Yeah.
I just want to say there were no redeeming boobies.
Exactly.
Next movie.
There's your show title right there.
Changing the show title.
If boobie is not redeeming, what purpose does it serve?
Exactly.
No redeeming boobies.
Instead of Pacific Rim, they could have named that movie 90 Minutes of Whoop Ass, and it would have been exactly the same.
Oh, my God.
All right. Next movie, because we're only 2 out of 11.
Oh. 15 years ago, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. Meh.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Didn't watch the sequel.
Meh.
Meh. Well, this is 2 Ron Perlman movies in a row. First, what is happening?
Good. First one's good.
20.
I didn't hate it, but like, you know,
next. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Why are we celebrating this anniversary? Jesus. All right, next.
25 years ago, Lethal Weapon 4.
That's my favorite one.
It's too much Lethal Weapon.
I prefer Lethal Weapon 5 from It's Always Sunny. But
it's not too much because it has Jet Li in it, and he's awesome as a bad guy.
You say Jet Li?
Yes, Jet Li.
Like it was J-E-T-L-Y, it sounds like you're doing. He's very Jet Li.
It's
Jet Li. There should be more of a pause there.
J-E-T space L-I, Jet Li.
I bet he drinks tea.
The scary thing about that.
Jet Li tea.
The scary thing about that is it's 25 years ago and it's Lethal Weapon 4.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's facts, though. I remember
it's true.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Right, exactly. How long had it already been when he was getting too old for this shit?
Exactly. Also, 25 years ago, There's Something About Mary.
Now, that's a good movie. That was funny as hell when it first came out.
Oh, I never cared for that movie.
Oh, my God. That was a gut-busting laughing when I saw that one in the theater.
Yeah. 30 years ago, included only for the meme value, Free Willy.
I mean, that's what Chig did when he went tubing.
Aren't we fighting a war in Willy?
Insert your favorite pun here. Also, 30 years ago, Hocus Pocus.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh my God. My niece made me watch that movie so many times when I was a kid.
My wife still watches it.
Yeah, that's one of my wife's favorites.
Yeah, my wife watches it every year.
I will
say that. Is that the Bette Midler one?
What?
Hocus, say it again?
Hocus. Yeah, Bette Midler and, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Bette Midler. So Bette Midler was great in that.
When they ride Erlings and one of them has to ride the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, playing Quidditch.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
I hate that movie. But anyway, 35 years ago, Die Hard, the first one.
Wait, now this is very controversial. Because why was a Christmas movie put out in July? I'm so confused.
You know, yeah, I'm confused by that too.
But that's when Christmas happens in New Zealand. This.
Christmas in July.
Absolutely, without a doubt, a Christmas movie.
Yeah. And it was released in July.
I don't care what fucking Bruce Willis says.
Look, he says Zippy-Ki-Yay, motherfucker, and I like that.
There is a very simple test for how you determine if something is a Christmas movie or not.
Ask Nurgle.
If you take Christmas out of the movie, does it change the story?
Yep.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been at Nakatomi without a Christmas party. So fucking
exactly.
That means it's a Christmas movie.
Yep.
Also, all the music and the decorations and stuff. Well, so anyway,
great movie.
35 years means that Bruce Willis is nearly as old as Nurgle.
Nearly.
Thank you, man. Also, 35 years ago, A Fish Called Wanda.
Great movie.
Absolutely fantastic movie. Yes,
absolutely fucking hilarious. Like Kevin Kline, Jamie Lee Curtis,
John Cleese, amazing.
John Cleese, yeah.
So many hysterical lines in that movie.
It's so good. When he fucking eats the goldfish. Jesus. Oh, spoilers. Sorry. Sorry. 35 years.
No, I like when they're hanging Kevin Kline outside of the window.
Oh, my God.
Out the window. Yeah.
I unequivocally apologize for any slights against you or your family or anyone you may know. That was pretty good. And then I included the last two just for the old man jokes. 70 years ago, gentlemen prefer blondes.
Yeah, you took your grandkids to that one.
Which is a classic. And then 80 years ago, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
For Whom the Bell Tolls, wow.
Which I've heard about, but I don't think ever actually
I've
seen.
I've read the book by Hemingway. I didn't know there was a movie. Yeah.
I've heard the song by, what was it, like Metallica?
Metallica, yeah. Metallica. Very good, very good song and by Metallica.
80 years ago, Hemingway was probably in that movie. But... Hemingway was an odd dude anyway.
A very US teacher. Odd dude.
But there's your 11 ton of movies for this week.
Yeah, was that a metric ton or a normal ton?
That would be a morte stete ton.
A ton of morte stete.
It's, yeah, precisely the weight of 1 square meter of morte stete.
Morte tea stete. The only tea.
Is it time for me to boot up the robot?
Yeah, we're going to bring back a classic.
All right, I want to get you doing it. I'll go boot up the robot. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, okay.
Can I just suggest?
Let Grover get more than 2 words in.
Wait, Grover.
That we actually pronounce it morte tea stete. Because it needs some gravitas, I think.
I don't know if I can roll my tongue like that.
Yeah, nobody's going to be able to apply that gravitas without your help.
I'm so afraid.
My wife would love me if I could roll my tongue like that. Jesus.
Oh, God. So Grover is the official slogan spokesperson for Morte Te Stete.
Yeah, when we create the audio ads, we're going to have to get your you're going to have to get some audio clips.
I don't always say Morte te stete.
Morte stete.
But what I do, I say morte te.
I roll my tongue with a New Zealand accent.
In
voice. Old country, stete morte te's you.
That's so stupid.
I hate everything about Jesus. That.
Okay.
I hear a robot booting up.
Devlonbot loading. If you like the show, please rate and review on your podcast player, which helps people find the show. Join us on Discord at discord.io/loosecrews and check out the merch store at loosecrewsed.com for mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/loosecrewsed. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry, Ching. That's my motor t-stete. I can't do that.
What? Yes, you can.
All right, everybody, thanks.
Hey, this was a slow roller. I think we ended up with a halfway decent show by the end.
Right on.
I mean, we ended up with a halfway decent something, right?
It's technically a show. It's not a stete by any means, but it's definitely a motor tee.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Grover, Kiwi, Chig, Data, Nurgle, Hate,
yep,
and Teflon, and Teflon's weird robot.
What the shit?
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys. Tune in next week. You've been warned.